Good to see you today. I am so thankful to be able to worship with you today, and so excited as well that we are going to be getting back into the building on Sunday, September the 6th. Everyone is invited to be there. We are going to have children's ministry available for those kids who would be there as well. And so your whole family is invited. Now, masks are going to be mandatory. We will need you to wear those. If you don't have one, we can provide that for you. But we're just so excited to get back together. Now, as you're hearing all this, you're probably thinking, man, I can't wait to get back either. It's going to be so great to see everybody. And Pastor Tim, why aren't you in your kitchen? Right? So I remember back in May, Beth and I had a little bit of an issue here with our kitchen. It didn't look like this then. No, in fact, our kitchen was actually the area that Beth and I probably had the most discussions about, right? Because me, I'm a guy, it's whatever. It's like, it is what it is. Let's just move on and be about it. But Beth, she seemed to always have some comments about the fact that the kitchen just wasn't functional, right? I still don't even really know what that means, but that was her thing. Like, the kitchen wasn't very functional. And then, lo and behold, in May, as I mentioned before, we had an issue with our dishwasher, and it had a leak, and that leak came out under some flooring in our dining room. It even got under the cabinets. We don't even know how long it was there, because there was actually a mold issue with it too. That was like, oh man, it just got beyond us, right? So then we're having to tear out all of the cabinets and everything. Obviously the dishwasher's got to go. The oven that was built into the wall, like, it's got to come out because we got to dry all that stuff out of it. It was nuts. It was crazy, right? And then the contractor, the guy who's helping us clean everything out and put everything back and everything, he says to us, so what are we going to put back? And I thought to myself, well, okay, you know, like, insurance is going to pay for replacement. And so we'll just replace what we had, right? We'll put back what came out. No big deal. On we go. And then Beth got this look in her eye like, oh, no, we're not. And so all of a sudden, she and the contractor are talking with each other, and he's like, well, just let me know what, you know, if you could have anything, what would you want? No! Are you kidding me? Like, all I see are dollar signs, right? Like, oh, this is going to be crazy expensive. You got to be kidding me. There's no way we're doing all this. And sure enough, like, Beth goes through saying, well, I want shaker-style cabinets, and I'd like to have this kind of countertop. I'd like to have that kind of backsplash. I'd like to have this kind of paint color. I'd like to have this kind of floor, like, all those kinds of things, right? And sure enough, this contractor comes back and says, well, for what the replacement cost is for your insurance, for if you pay just a little bit more, we can actually get you everything that you asked for in that kitchen. Now, it might take a little more time to get it, and it might take a little bit more price tag, but it's not going to be a lot. And when you get done with it, your kitchen is going to be exactly what you wanted it to be. Well, as you can imagine, like, Beth was over the moon, and I was still skeptical. Like, I don't really know about this. Like, surely they're going to be cutting some corners somewhere. It's not going to be what we thought it was going to be, right? But then in the end, here we are, and we end up with this kitchen that is so much better than what we had before. But you know, we had to go weeks without any kitchen at all, because they had to tear out all the old stuff. They had to build, they literally built all this stuff like right here and everything. The painting took forever, right? It was crazy how long it took. So there was a cost to it, if you will. But in the end, we got to something that, as it turns out, I kind of get what Beth was saying now. This is a lot more functional. Like, it's easier to use the space, right? It's just everything works, right? The drawers don't like get stuck as you're pulling them out and everything like that, you know? Like the dishwasher like isn't all super loud like it was before. You know, we've got things in certain places that we couldn't put them in before. We got extra storage now that Beth is so excited to get to fill with other kitchen stuff, right? Like this really is working better. And I could have never seen that before. See, church, I believe that we are actually in the middle of one of these moments ourselves where, you know, over this last summer and since March and everything like that, we have found ourselves in sort of a reconstruction process, right? With all of coronavirus and everything, boy, we've been kind of forced out of the building. We've not been able to be together and everything. And it seems like this is a moment where we can now decide, like, are we just gonna put back what we had before? Or are we gonna do something different, something more? We're gonna take the next step toward actually making this place a functional area, something that is accomplishing what we want it to accomplish. See, I think that for us as a church, we have an opportunity to ask ourselves and to answer that question very, very clearly. Let me give you a little history on what I'm talking about here. See, 5 years ago, as you all helped me celebrate so incredibly, I was hired on as the pastor of Houston First Church of God. When I came on, the pulpit committee, the search committee that was interviewing me and eventually presented my family and I to the congregation, they said to me that this congregation needs to focus on discipleship. Now, I was ecstatic about that because that is like right where my gift mix is and everything anyway. And then we get together, we do the whole candidate weekend, we do the vote and all that kind of stuff, and it came back 100%. And I was so thankful that God spoke abundantly clear. That was my prayer through all of it. God, just speak abundantly clear that you would have me where you would want me to be in terms of leadership and ministry. And I'm so thankful for the way that God brought us together. But the initial focus of all of that was discipleship. Like, how can we grow in our spiritual lives as a church? How can we grow deeper as a church in order that we might be able to grow wider, even numerically? Well, one of the things that I learned as people were talking to me, as I got to know the Houston First Church of God, one of the things I learned was that a lot of the groups of the church were all sort of siloed out, particularly along the lines of age and stage of life, right? So you had older adults that were all together. You had young adults that were together. You had married people that were together. You had single people that were together. And then you had people that didn't really fit anywhere else that all just kind of, this was the misfit group that all kind of fit together. You had new believers that were together. You had all this kind of stuff. But everything was according to age and stage of life. And it seemed like there really wasn't a whole lot of interaction in between. So several years ago now, Pastor Sarah and I helped roll out Learn Groups. And in rolling out Learn Groups, what we did is we wanted to really value and accentuate the diversity that we have as a congregation. And church, I just want to remind you once again that who we are as a congregation and what we have in terms of the diversity that shows up each and every Sunday and that is a part of each and every Bible study and is a part of each and every group. Like, this is not normal with the church in America. Like, this is not what most people see on a Sunday morning. Like, this is not how it goes for most people. But we have this tremendous diversity among us in terms of age and race, socioeconomic status, even in terms of male and female, and jobs and where you were brought up and all these kinds of things, right? And so what we decided with Learn Groups is let's kind of really value the diversity that we have here. And so what we did is we formed groups, these Learn Groups, in order to represent the diversity of our congregation as a whole, so that each group would be able to show as much of that diversity as possible, in order that we might be able to really value that diversity in the study of God's Word as we come together each week. So in that, there were some great things that happened. In that we were able to focus on God's word. We were able to be unified in our sermon-based content. And so everybody was studying the same thing. And so that really, really helped in terms of conversation outside of the building as well. It even helped in terms of the fact that it was discussion-based. And so it really encouraged involvement and everything there as much as you might want to be, right? And of course, it was Bible-based. We wanted it to be rooted in Scripture, right? And as great as it was, one of the things that we've come to recognize is that learn groups were really not as functional as we would have liked for them to be. They really weren't accomplishing the purpose that we had hoped that they would accomplish. See, just a few years ago, almost 3 years ago now, at an annual business meeting in November, I laid out the vision to multiply. And this is the idea that we as a congregation would not just be people who are trying to maintain our own spiritual lives, but that we would be disciples who make disciples, that we would go out to the world and that we would share the good news of Jesus Christ, but not just do evangelism and lead people, but really disciple people up and help them to grow in their faith, that we might all be growing together, and that as we are multiplying as believers, we would also then multiply as a church. We would either plant another church or start a satellite campus or a new ministry, or who knows what that might look like, right? But that in 5 years, this is, again, almost 3 years ago now, in 5 years, we would multiply. That was our goal, right? Well, we've come to realize that while learn groups have been so good for us, there are some things that learn groups aren't doing in helping us to reach our goal. Let me show you what I mean by this. I'm going to read for you out of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And this is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many words, or I'm sorry, at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How awesome of a picture of God's church is that right there, right? Like, wouldn't we all love to see that? And it's interesting, right? Like, so if we look at verse 42 in particular, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. Now, as we look at the groups that we've had for a while, one of the things that we see is that we're really high on the apostles' teaching. We're really high on God's word. We focus ourselves on that. And I would also say we're really high on prayer. We are intentional about spending time in prayer together in our groups of sharing prayer requests and being able to intercede with one another. The problem is, though, that we're really not all that high on fellowship. In terms of just being with each other, in terms of spending time with each other, even outside of a Bible study. And we're also not that high on breaking bread together, which is really just like being in each other's homes, of sharing a meal together, of doing life together, of being kind of real and transparent with one another. And so while there are some things that we've done pretty well, there are some other areas where as a church, we've really not been performing as functional as maybe we should be. We've not been carrying out what the church should look like as well as we could be. And so that's why I am so excited to just let everybody and encourage everybody to be a part of these new community groups that we are getting started. See, community groups are actually going to be replacing learn groups. But what I want you to recognize here is that community groups are not just getting rid of learn groups. It's not like this whole big change, because in a lot of ways, the groups are going to be kind of similar still, right? They're still going to be Bible-based. They're still going to be focused on prayer, right? They're still going to be discussion-based groups. We're still encouraging the diversity, the larger diversity of our congregation into each and every group. But with all of that, we're taking the next step in our mission to multiply. We're taking the next step toward how we can be disciples that make disciples. We're taking the next step toward how it is that we can be a church that actually multiplies and not just adds to our numbers for a Sunday morning, but that we multiply and we expand the kingdom of God beyond these walls that we find ourselves in when the coronavirus isn't happening, right? And so, the way that we are going to do that through community groups that will be different than in learn groups is one main thing in particular, and it's all about relational environment. See, learn groups have kind of got us into, or have sort of continued, let me say it this way. Learn groups sort of continue this sort of classroom mentality, right? There's a teacher and there's a learner. And there's a teacher and then the rest of the people are learners, right? But what we want to do instead is we actually want to create like a living room mentality. We want you to feel like you're welcome in the kitchen. Like, hey, you can get in the fridge, get something out. If you need a cup, just go ahead and grab one out of the cabinet there. Like, we want you to feel what? We want you to feel like this is your space. Not like you're just coming into an academic endeavor, but like you are home, right? So one of the things that we've done is with community groups, we've given you the opportunity to choose your own group. Now, many of you have signed up already. We are so excited for how many people have already signed up for community groups. If you haven't signed up yet, I want to encourage you to go to hfcog.org/community groups, and there'll be a link that's coming up right now. Make sure that you go there and you register for a group yourself, because it's going to be absolutely incredible, right? So first of all, you get to sign up for your own group, which means you're with the people that you want to be with. You're with the leader that you want to be with. It's the day and time that works best for you. It's in the place that works best for you. We tried to get as many leaders as we could from across the congregation to serve. And we know that there's a group that's going to fit just right for you, and we'd love for you to sign up for the group that you think is going to work best for you to really fit in and be a part of the group. You may even have other people that you want to get to sign up with you. That's awesome. Give them a call. Tell them, hey, I'm signing up for so-and-so's group. You need to sign up for so-and-so's group too so that we can be in that group together. That would be incredible, right? The other thing that we're doing is we are actually encouraging our groups to meet outside of the building. Now, we do have two groups that are still meeting inside the building. Really excited to announce that we have one group that is going to be meeting online through Zoom. And that is actually a new development that we're really excited about. But all of our other groups are meeting in homes, right? Or outside of the building. And what this is going to do is, again, it's going to help us feel more like we're in somebody's living room and less like we're in somebody's classroom. Right? We want to be able to create an environment where you feel comfortable to share your life with others, because that's part of what made the early church work so well. It wasn't just the apostles teaching in prayer, but it was fellowship. It was breaking bread. It was being real with each other. It was doing life with each other. It was actually being transparent and vulnerable with each other. It's like having a place and a people and a space where you can just be real about how it is that God really needs to work in your life. Now, here's what's so awesome about this. See, some people have been asking, like, why are we calling them community groups? Well, there's a couple of reasons, actually. One is that we want to build that sense of community within the Houston First Church of God. Like, for us as a people, we want it to feel like, we want to build the community that we have with each other. We don't want to be siloed off. We don't want to feel like we're forced into something that we don't really want to be a part of. No, but instead, we want to be able to build relationships with people so that if someone has something going on, they're not just calling some random number. They're not calling 311. They're not just calling the church office to say, hey, can somebody help? But no, the people who are part of a community group already have a family unit. So that if something's going on, if you need prayer for something, you're going to contact your community group, and they're going to be right right there for you. If there's a need that you have, your community group is going to be right there for you. If there's some kind of help that you might need, or some sort of, maybe you're just hurt. Maybe there's a struggle you're going through. Maybe you got let go of your job. Maybe there's a death in your family. Like, we're all going to be, that community group is going to be family. In a way that for many of us, maybe even our family wasn't there for us. We're going to be able to have these relationships that will absolutely touch our hearts. And we're going to be able to touch the hearts of those in our groups as well. And here's what's so awesome about it. Not only does that just touch your heart, but that's going to begin to be the environment in which God is able to speak into your life like he's never spoke before. God's going to be able to reveal himself to you like he's never, like we've never been able to see, to let him reveal himself before. Like, once we begin to let down some walls, once we begin to be intentional and transparent with one another, like, we're going to see God doing some amazing things in our lives and in these groups. But watch this, because I guarantee you right now, when you start meeting in real places, and you start meeting with real people, and you start having real conversations, people that aren't already part of the church are going to flock to it. You start talking to people about the fact that you have a group of people where you can just be you. You don't have to be fake. You don't have to pretend. But that when you struggle, you've got people that are your road dogs that are right there going through the struggle with you, right? But you start talking to other people about that, and they're going to be asking you, like, hey, how can I get in? Like, how can I be a part of that? Where can I sign up, right? Like, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be amazing. See, part of the reason that we're calling these community groups is, one, we want to build community within the church that already exists and within the group that already is the Houston First Church of God. But we also want to encourage you to get out into your community, into your neighborhood, and invite people. I guarantee you, I promise you, people around you are looking for something real. They're looking for someone that they can just be real with and not have to put on a face, not have to put on a facade, not have to pretend like they got it all together. Like, people just want to be able to be real so that you can speak hope and truth and life. And then people want to know that someone's going to be there for them, even when they're going through hard times. Like, church, this is what we're here for. Like, this is what Jesus died for. That in order that we might be able to step into situations of people's lives that are far from God, in order that we might be able to take good news into those situations, community groups are a place where we can learn how to be real with each other, which is going to help us connect with those that are outside the church that would love to have a place where they can be real as well. Truth of the matter is, most people who are outside the church looking in don't see the church as a place where you can be real. And they don't see the Bible as something that is actually relevant today. They don't see the church as a place where you would go if you have issues. They don't see prayer as a real solution. They don't see faith as something that's actually has any substance to it. Because for them, it's what they've seen the church as is just this theory bubble where people talk about nice things and do nice things and say nice things, but at the end of the day, those people are really no different than anybody else. Well, wouldn't it be amazing if we could show others that we are not a place like anywhere else, that we are not a people like anyone else, that because we have been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ, because we've been saved by grace through faith, because of what Jesus has done with and for us, like we can speak into their lives too, hope and truth and grace. I think people would really love to see that. See, it would be really awesome to be able to have a place where we could use our spiritual gifts and be able to still be together in community, whether we're in the building or not. And the truth is that Learn groups weren't really answering those questions. They weren't really providing those things. There were some good things about it, and we're going to carry over all of those good things into community groups. But community groups are definitely the next step that we need to take in our vision to multiply. If we're going to be a church that is made up of disciples that makes disciples, then we've got to make sure that we are a part of groups and in relational environments where people can be real with each other, where we're not just being theoretical about our faith, but we're being real about it. Let me give you another example of what this is going to look like, by the way. Not only in our community groups, but even outside of that. Like, for example, on Sunday mornings, during that traditional Sunday school hour, when we have been doing most of our learn groups, some of you may still want to come a little bit early there. Maybe you have kids that you're bringing for Sunday school, or you have youth that are going to be involved with Pastor David and everything. So here's what we're going to do. We want you to still come at 9:30. Now, we've got one learn group that's going to be, one community group, can't believe I just did that, one community group that's going to be meeting in the building on Sunday morning. But if you're not signed up for their group, we don't want you to go into that group. We want these groups to be small on purpose, right? And if everybody just goes in, then it's not going to work like that. And so if you're not signed up for that group, don't go into that group. But we want you to stick around in the lobby. We want you to stick around in the cafe area. We want you to hang out there. And what we're going to do, I'm going to be there as well. And what we're going to do is we're just going to spend time talking with each other. We're going to ask things like, hey, how was your week? Like, really, how are you doing? How did you see the Lord at work in your life this week? What are some ways that I can be praying for you? And we're not just going to do this in theory. Like, we're going to be praying like right then, right there. We're going to be talking about how, you know, what the Bible has to say about the situation you're in. Maybe there's a struggle that you're at. Maybe there's an anger issue that you're dealing with at work or at home or something like that. Maybe whatever it might be, like we're actually going to be real about this. And it's not going to be a community group to itself, but it's just going to be a time where we can build relationships with each other and just be real with each other. And it's open to anybody, right? In fact, I think these relational environments are so important that we're doing this exact same thing on Wednesday nights now as well. Right? Our youth are still going to meet with Pastor David on Wednesday nights. Our kids, while we're still kind of figuring out what that Wednesday night programming is going to look like, we'll still have somewhere for our kids to be, even if it is more of just a childcare kind of setting rather than a full lesson and that kind of stuff. But our adults are going to be able to meet together, and we're not going to be doing a Bible study, which doesn't mean we don't like Bible study, by the way. And we're not necessarily going to have a time of prayer, and that doesn't mean that we don't like prayer. But what we are going to do is we're gonna just get together with each other. We're going to talk and we're going to ask, like, hey, what's going on in your life? And here's what's going on in my life. And how can we be praying for each other? And we're going to be real with each other. We're going to build relationship. And what I believe is going to happen is that when we build these relationships with each other, we're going to see God open up some things in our lives that we've never allowed him access to before. Church, I just want you to know, like God's doing something here. We are closer to this vision to multiply than we've ever been before. And watch this now, because coronavirus can't stop this, right? See, because coronavirus tells us that we can't meet together in large groups, so that's okay. All of our community groups are going to be 10 people or less. So that actually fits within all the restrictions anyway, right? The coronavirus tells us that we've got to stay socially distant and we can't interact with each other. No. Like, in community groups, you can still put your spiritual gifts to work. You can still be of service to the kingdom, even if it isn't to the larger group, even if we're not in the building at all, right? Like, now more than ever, we have an opportunity to redesign the kitchen, to redesign how it is we're doing what we're doing, so that this can be more functional in our mission to accomplish the commission that Jesus gave the disciples, and that is to go and to make disciples of all the world, teaching, baptizing, all of that, right? Now is the time that we get to tell the contractor, we get to tell God, you know what? We want to be every bit of functional that you can be, Lord. You do it. And I know it's going to cost a little bit more, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to it, and it's going to be a little bit of extra finance that might be needed for it, and it might mean a little bit extra time in my commute. It might mean a little bit more extra time in my week, but I know that when we do this, we're going to be accomplishing the mission. It's going to be more functional for the kingdom than it's ever been before, and I want you to be a part of that. I want to see your neighborhoods transformed by this. I want to see your family transformed by this. I want to see you transformed by how God is going to move through community groups. I hope that you're excited for this. You know that I am. If you haven't signed up yet, again, I want to remind you, hfcug.org/community groups. You can get signed up today. We'd love for you to be a part of it so that we can all accomplish the vision to multiply together. God is desiring for us to be disciples who make disciples. this is our next step toward that endeavor. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence with us. We thank you, God, for leading us into this next step toward your vision to multiply your church, to multiply your disciples, to multiply your kingdom. God, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. We want to see your kingdom grow, Father. We want to see the dead come to life and the lost be found, God. We want to be a part of this mission that Jesus has sent his disciples out to be upon, God. Help us, Lord, that we would let nothing hold us back, but that we would continue to move forward for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.